This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
So the Yankees lost a tough one to the Orioles yesterday, a game that they were leading 5-1, but the Orioles put an 8th spot on the board in the 7th inning. And that's where the anger begins, and that's where the Pinstripe Report begins, brought to you by Corona. So people were questioning on social media and on talk shows, why did Boone let Nestor Cortez pitch the 7th inning? That is such gutless second guessing. Because I'm going to tell you, that's a can't-win situation. So he gave up 1 run in 6 innings. He threw 77 pitches. If he didn't have him pitch the 7th inning, and then the bullpen came in and crapped the bed, you'd be screaming, how could he take him out so soon? He does this all the time. Look what he did with Herman. If Boone can't trust Nestor Cortez with 77 pitches to pitch the 7th inning, the problem's not Boone, it's Nestor Cortez. So take all of your vitriol toward the Yankee manager and direct it to the players that don't perform. So he had a plan, and I don't even agree with the plan. The last batter that Nestor Cortez was going to face was the third batter in the inning, Adam Frazier, the lefty. Of course, because Nestor Cortez owns left-handed batters. Owns them. Now, if he'd got the first two batters in 5 pitches and then got Frazier, why not let him pitch the 8th inning? Your bullpen is exhausted. You didn't have King available, you didn't have Marinaccio available, and you did not have Wandy Peralta available. So you're going to criticize the manager for staying with a pitcher who had thrown just 77 pitches in the game, but you're not going to criticize the pitcher. If the Yankees have a Nestor Cortez problem, they got a problem. Because you take a look at Nestor Cortez's ERA in the first 4 innings of his starts, it's about 2. And then you take a look at what Nestor Cortez is in the 5th, 6th, and however long he pitches, after the first 4 innings, his ERA is about 16. I don't know if the pitch clock is tiring him out, which it shouldn't be because he was a guy who always worked quickly. But something's up where he's not performing. But they've got to get to him to perform. And there are reasons why you push a pitcher. The previous night, your starter, your ace, gave you 5 innings. And then let the first 2 batters get on in the 6th. Yankees didn't want to lose the game. They took Cole out. Cole did not do what he normally does, give you length. And that's why they had to use King for 2 innings and over 30 pitches. And they had to use Wandy. And they had to use Marinaccio for over 30 pitches. Those guys were unavailable last night. Now, one other thing for all these people complaining about Boone pushing Nestor Cortez to the 7th inning. You know, because of Domingo Herman not realizing that you can't put flypaper on your hands, they don't have a starter this week. You realize that, right? Randy Vasquez is starting tomorrow against the Padres. He's making his major league debut. So essentially, that's going to be a bullpen game. Luis Severino is going to pitch on Saturday. And then Sunday, which is when Herman was supposed to pitch, it might be another bullpen game. And you want him to just keep running these guys out. Just keep running guys out of the bullpen and blow out their arms. They don't have enough injuries as it is, right? Sometimes you got to stop criticizing the manager. He brings in Jimmy Cordero, even after taking Nestor out, because Nestor gave up the 3-run home run against the foul pole to Adam Frazier. That made it 5-4. Brings in Jimmy Cordero. The Yankee bullpen, to that point over the previous 5 games, had pitched 22 and a third scoreless innings. Jimmy Cordero was not good last night. And then Albert Abreu was not good last night. That's the manager's fault. You guys are just lying in wait for Boone to make a move that doesn't work, even though it could be the right move. And I got a text the other day, Don and Peter, because on the air, I said, this is a curious decision, Boone bringing in Michael King in a game that he's trailing. And a guy tweets me last night and go, well, I didn't hear you say you were wrong. Well, you know why, buddy? Because I wasn't wrong. I was right. If Aaron Judge doesn't hit that home run, that was a terrible gamble. Aaron Judge bailed out the Yankees and Boone because he used all of his top leverage relievers in that game. And if he had lost the game, that is an epic fail. And Boone would admit that using King in that spot was a huge gamble. Don Mattingly once said it to me many, many years ago. You can make the right move with a bullpen. You can make the right move taking out a starter. And if your pitchers do not perform, it's your fault. You got to accept it. You got to own it. And that's why Boone gets paid the big bucks. He's got to own it. Well, he's got to own it. He did not make a mistake having Nestor Cortes pitch the seventh.
And you know, this is why it's so ridiculous, all right? Because they just have it out for Boone. So they lose a game in which he leaves Cortes in. If they lost that game because they took Cortes out, they'd be screaming, how do you let Cortes go
after
70-some-odd pitches?
We lived that, Don, when he took out Domingo Germán, remember?
Right, so they're out for it. So anytime they lose, they're going to find something Boone did wrong because you're supposed to go 162-0. Sometimes you just lose games. And a lot of times you lose games because the players don't get the job done. And that's what happened last night with the bullpen. So it can't always be the manager's fault. Now, sometimes it is. They're not perfect. But just to lay in wait every time you lose a game and just find, well, you should have done that. Yeah, of course, revisionist history is going to tell you that maybe they should have taken him out or should have done this differently or that differently because it didn't work. But at the time, it was the right move to make because of the fact that their bullpen is going to get exposed, Michael, because they don't have any starting pitchers.
I got to tell you another thing, too, Don. You know that I bought the analytics, okay? I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. It works. It works. It might not work in the postseason, but it works. But what they've done is they've created a monster that's going to devour them. They have raised a generation of pitchers that can't go long. They can't face a lineup for the third time. They're just incapable of doing it because they weren't allowed to do it. That's not the way they were raised in the minor leagues. They yank them out of the game after two times through the order. And what that does is it puts a premium on the four guys that you're going to take out of the bullpen to cover the final four innings. Every one of those four guys has to be on. It's impossible. It's impossible to happen all the time. For the most part, it happens most of the time for the Yankees. They have the best bullpen ERA in the majors. In the majors. But Nestor Cortes can't face an order for the third time. Why? He can't throw over 77 pitches without wilting. Why? Why? Why is every starter raised to throw five innings, five and fly?
Because
it's ridiculous. The whole game is predicated on the bullpen being perfect every night.
Because the analytics tell you that the numbers go up dramatically in favor of the offense when a hitter gets to see a pitcher for the third time. So I will ask the question that Peter and I have been asking now for years. Why do you pay them so much money then? Why do you pay them so much money if they're not going to be able to give you innings? Now, I don't think that's the deal with Cole.
Right, now Cole gives you innings.
But you're still going to pay Cortes at some point, especially if he ends up being effective. But like this is supposed to be, right now, Michael, I guess he's your second best pitcher, or he's at least supposed to be. And you're worried about the third time through the lineup. So that means every time that he's going to have to pitch, you're going to have to get your bullpen up in the fifth or sixth inning every single time he pitches? Of course the numbers are going to go up. It makes sense for them to go up, right? You see a guy for the third time. Maybe you're a little bit tired because you're on, you know, 60, 70, 80 pitches maybe at that point. But are we going to just, is it going to be like the NFL where they didn't want to pull the plug right away on the kickoff, so they messed with it to the point where, you know what, we're just going to get rid of it and nobody's going to care? Are we just getting to the point where eventually you're just going to have pitchers go five innings and not spend a lot of money on them and just have a bunch of extra guys in the bullpen because you don't want anybody?
Don,
to face somebody
now.
Through the third. But you still have some pitchers that are really good.
The guys that can do it, like Verlander and Scherzer and Cole, get paid an exorbitant amount of money.
But they're going to get grandfathered out. The same way managers that weren't analytic got eventually weeded out. You know, the Sochas and the Bochis of the world, although Bochy's back with Texas. But, you know, we'll just wait them out. They'll get old. They'll leave. And then we'll bring our guy in. So, like, once the Coles and the Verlanders and the Scherzers and the Kershaws and they're all done, is that what it's going to look like? Everybody's going to be a starter? Everybody's going to be an opener?
It might be the case. The Yankees are starting somebody tomorrow. Randy Vasquez, you ready? Jack Curry just reported this. My colleague at Yes. He's never attended a major league game. So he's going to sit in the dugout tonight to get the feel. And then he's going to face the San Diego Padres on Apple TV+. So the whole world will be watching. You have actually created... It's almost like what we're talking about in the country right now, or in the world. We're creating AI, which will eventually devour us. We've created a system of pitching that will eventually devour the people that created it. You cannot exist having starters go five innings. You can't do it. There are not enough good relievers out there. And even if there are good relievers, you know what? Like Jimmy Cordero, who's been great this year, he's going to have a bad outing. So you're not always going to get that guy. And if every one of your starters, except for Gerrit Cole, are going to give you five and fly or celebrate after six, you still have to get 9 outs out of the bullpen. 9 to 12 outs every single day. Every single day. And then you're going to criticize the manager for pulling a stunt of actually asking one of his starters to go more than 77 pitches. How dare Aaron Boone? I got to tell you this, and I hate to say it. I hate to say it, and this is where it's going to
get convinced. Don't say it then.
I'm going to say it. All those people that complained about Aaron Boone, you don't even know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're watching. You don't know what you're watching. My 8-year-old knows more baseball than you. You react off what you see, and you don't know that everything is interconnected. What they're going to do tonight, what they plan to do on Saturday, what they're doing on Sunday, it's all interconnected. You're just thinking about last night. Why? Why did he leave Nestor Cortez in? If you wonder why he left Nestor Cortez in, you don't know baseball. You don't know it. And I'm not defending Boone. Because Boone's excuse, but no, he was coming out anyway after getting Frazier. Why? What if he got 3 in a row? Why wouldn't he pitch the 8th? He would have been at about 85 pitches. That's what we've now created. The pitcher that has to peter out after 75 pitches. What are we doing? What are we doing? Baseball better reestablish how they train their starters in the minor leagues. Because this is unacceptable. It's too much stress on a bullpen. It is. It's absolutely lunacy.
But we will morph into where everything's an opener, that we're just going to strategically get rid of the starting pitcher.
But I don't think that could work, Don, because you're asking, like, say, 6 pitchers all to be on that day. It's not a sustainable thing to have 5 openers. Well, it's not.
But it depends on the day. Like, there may be some openers that only give you 1 or 2 innings, but there might be openers that give you 3 or 4. But the idea is always going to be, unless something really special is going on, the idea is to have a fresh pitcher ready for the third time through the order. And the only way to do that, Michael, is to have more bullpen guys and less starters. And then for some of the smaller market teams, that'll work because they'll never have to pay big money to a starter. And then that's the way the game is going to morph, too. It's already happening as it is, unless you're just really special at the top of the rotation. They're itching to get you out of games. And then, God, once you get to the postseason, forget about it. You're mixing and matching the whole way.
Now, you know, I said that if Nestor Cortez has an issue, then the Yankees have an issue. This guy was an all-star last year. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball. This is what he's done in his last 5 games, guys. 5 games, 26 innings. So you do the math there. Just over a smidge each, 5 innings each start. 26 innings. 7.27 ERA. He's given up 28 hits in 26 innings pitched and 7 home runs. And he's walked 11. In 10 starts this year, Don, 10 starts, 54 and a third innings pitched. Now, If Clark Schmidt gave me that, okay. Oh, okay. First of all, he wasn't supposed to be in the rotation, and he's filling in for an injured player, and he's the fifth starter. That's cool. Nestor Cortez with Severino and Rodon out, he's your second starter. He's an all-star, and he's getting slapped around after really the second time through the order.
Well, the scary thing, Michael, especially, is that you were kind of surprised by how well he was pitching. So is he finding the mean now? Is he now becoming what he's supposed to be?
What's the aberration? I wonder, because he's been good for 2.5 years. If it was just 1 year of good, then I'd say, maybe Don's right. But he's been good for a while now.
No, I understand that. But, pitchers have adjusted. I mean, hitters have adjusted. Teams have gotten enough film on him. Does he have to readjust? Or is it just a bad year? I don't know. Sometimes you just have a bad year. Things don't work out the way that you hoped. But you were so surprised by him. You just hope that now he's not, that his carriage isn't turning back into a pumpkin.
They'd be in trouble if that happens, because then that's another pitcher they would have to replace. 1-800-919-3776. Let's tell you that the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Corona. Enjoy the finer life of sports. Corona, the official cerveza of Major League Baseball. Nick in Hartford. Nick.
Hey, Michael. One quick comment. If you guys split up, you guys would be number one on any show, including Peter. And I don't know your politics, Peter.
You're a nice man. Thank you.
And I read your book, Michael, and it was great.
Thanks.
My comment is that Cortez was the right move. Boone, nobody was saying anything about Boone when he went with the opener. Everybody was complaining about, Cordero and Brito, and he doesn't know, it was a disaster. Then it worked out, and the whole people went back in the hole. Now they're back out of the hole, and Boone is inept. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a bad manager. The only move to make last night was to let Cortez pitch. The bullpen is taxed. And I don't know what's happening at the end of the games. I don't know if there's an injury coming on, but he fails at the end of the games, and Cordero had a bad game. The Cordero thing's going to happen, but Cortez, they got to get fixed. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if he's pitching through an injury and he's not saying anything, but he is losing gas at the end of the game.
Yeah, he even admitted, Nick, in the Toronto game that he was exhausted. He just ran out of gas in the seventh inning. Well, why? Why? He didn't have an exorbitantly high pitch count. This is a guy who's in great shape. Again, he pitched in the All-Star game last year. It was a Cinderella story. And as Don said, it better not turn into a pumpkin. They need that guy.
Yeah, maybe it is the pitch clock. It is.
He said he doesn't think it is, because, Don, of all the pitchers on the Yankee staff, the one guy I didn't think that would be affected would be him, because he always pitched quickly.
But the truth is, we're not going to have a full understanding. Guys, we're going to need at least a season, if not a couple, to sort of see if there are any residual effects to the pitch clock.
Right. I agree.
We wrote it off quickly. You wrote me off, Michael. I remember asking you, could this affect people's health? And you really didn't think it could, or their ability. But how do we know, really?
Well, the only data that we have on that is in the minor leagues. So there didn't seem to be a real uptick in injuries from previous years when there was not a clock. But again, it's a different level up here.
A different level, and mostly younger players.
So here's Brian on Twitter. Hey, Mike, it's still May. Give Nestor some time. You swear it's only fans. You overreact all the time. Am I overreacting? I said if there's something wrong with him, there's a problem. I'm not overreacting. It's amazing what people hear. Really? Do you have wax in your ears? Or do you not understand the language? I never ripped Nestor. I'm a Nestor fan, and he was great last year, and he has not performed well in his 10 starts this year. Is that overreacting? Let me do the math for you, Brian. 10 starts is a third of his season. A starter who makes every start makes 32 starts. He's a third of the way through the season, and he has not pitched well. You think maybe you should be a little concerned? Maybe a little. You think maybe the Yankees are a little concerned? Maybe a little. But I'm overreacting.
I'd be concerned with a guy with an earned run average over 5.
Let's go to Paul in Trenton. This should be fun.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hello.
Look, I agree with you with the pitching. It's just a question that do you get it right or do you get it wrong? My problem with Boone, and it's been the whole year and the year before, this lineup, he had Volpe batting first. He kept it over a month and a half to 2 months and never changed. And how in the world can LeMahieu be batting fourth when you got Sanchez driving the ball like he was and you got LeMahieu who looks like he's hurt?
Paul, who's Sanchez?
Pardon?
Who's Sanchez driving the ball? Who is Sanchez?
I mean, Torres.
Oh, you want him to? He batted cleanup.
Yeah, and he should have been. He should be kept there at cleanup. LeMahieu is a problem. He's not like he was. Something's wrong with LeMahieu.
Well, I'm not going to argue with that. You know, the major league average for hitters is 248. He's at 250. He's barely an average hitter. He has not looked like the guy that won a batting title ever since he signed the contract. I know that when he's hot, he's great. He has not been hot. And as for Gleyber, you know, Gleyber's either hot or he's not. I know that sounds ridiculous. He's either hot or he's not. Sometimes he goes into a seven-day spell where he doesn't hit at all, and then he goes into a seven-day spell where you can't get him out. Let's go to Matt in Metuchen. Matt.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, Mike, you know, the thing about, like, Boone, that kind of drives me crazy, you always talk about how he's in lockstep with the front office, and then, like, it's surprising that he pulls Cortez out. Like, as the great Don McGregor once said, that is how they want to play baseball. And I don't,
well, I'm not surprised that he pulled Cortez out. I'm surprised that he admitted that he had a plan to.
Yeah, but, like, that brings out the fans' frustration. They're sort of, like, kind of tired of this. And listen, I think this is, I mean, we're talking about this overall thing, why the Yankees, fans are so frustrated with the Yankees. It's kind of like they're living in this sort of, I guess, this kind of analytical world, which we all have to accept. But it's like, it's kind of completely changed the way we look at baseball. And it's kind of like much for the worse. It's like, when are they ever going to have guys going into the 7th or 8th? And it's not like Cole's going to do it. I know he pitches a little bit more, but how many times does he even pitch into the 8th? And then there's always this like, well, you know, their bullpen's dying, it's tired, but that's how it's always going to be. Like, when are they going to have guys throwing like 220?
I don't think they ever will, Matt. I think nobody in the sport does it anymore. So, I listen, you made a great point just now. Made a great point. You look at the sport differently now. You do. And he is in lockstep with the front office. He believes this stuff. He makes out the lineup. The lineup's not made out for him. There are people that suggest lineups, and then he picks the one, or he puts the one that he wants out. He takes suggestions. Everything is collaborative in baseball right now. The one thing that I would tell everybody, and I keep saying this over and over and over and over again, nobody wants to buy it. Let's say you don't like Aaron Boone, right? Let's say that you got a petition together, and you got him to lose his job, okay? Well, let's take that. Who you think they're bringing in? You think they're bringing in Casey Stengel? You think Ralph Houck's coming in? You think Billy Martin's coming in? It would be the same person in a different uniform. The same person who adheres to all of these theories, who manages and believes the game should be played the way they play it right now.
Right.
So, I mean, I would think that Yankee fans would love Boone. He's fiery. He defends his players. He goes out there, puts on a show, gets thrown out. I mean, Don, what do you want your manager? There's no other manager you're going to bring in that will be allowed to manage any differently than this.
They just don't want to believe it, Michael. They don't want to believe it.
I guess they will not go quietly into that.
No, they do not believe in the analytics, and they want to try to wish it out of existence. And they think that if they continue to treat baseball like it's 1974, then it'll become 1974 again. I'm not telling you to like it. I'm just telling you, you got to get used to it. And you've got to adjust as a fan, because they're not going to adjust for you.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Come out to see DiPietro and Rothenberg live on Thursday, June 1st, starting at 6 a.m. from Publicans in Manhasset for a special pregame broadcast of music from Randy Zoo. Just steps away from Manhasset Station on the LIRR, where after the show, the crew will take the train to Citi Field and tailgate in Lot F before the matinee game. It's a pregame party with Rick and Dave, brought to you by the New York Structural Steel Painting Contractors Association, the Window and Glass Dealers Association of New York, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Jason in New Jersey. Jason.
Hey guys, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I hope I'm not repeating some of the things that you said because I was trying to get through, but Aaron Boone did nothing wrong last night. Nestor Cortez was fine through the game. The real thing that really killed that inning was that little mishap at shortstop by Volpe. Really let the inning go on longer.
Yeah, that could have been a double play.
Yeah, it could have changed the entire inning. And maybe if that solo homer would have happened, he would have been fine. But I want to get to the point of, we were talking about guys going deep in games. And I think the reason why you see a lot of guys get hurt nowadays is because they're not pushed like that in the minor leagues. Because I have followed some of the minor league games for the Yankees over the years. These guys are not pitching as much as they are when they come to the big league.
Absolutely
and
right.
I feel like that is what's killing a lot of these pitchers. And that's why I think more than ever now, you're seeing guys get hurt. I feel like when I hear my dad speak or like uncles, they never said that. They never saw so many injuries because it seems like these guys were worked up by the time they came to the big league. So they're getting pushed too far, and they're not working like this in the minor leagues, and it seems like it's killing them.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that's the issue. The way the pitchers are, you know, for lack of a better word, bred.
Right.
They're not bred to be complete game pitchers. They're not bred to throw 120 pitches, and they would tell you, you know, that's why pitchers break down. But these pitchers break down anyway. Well, you know what they want done? Here's what they do. They want pitchers to throw 100 miles an hour because velocity gets people out. And it's true, it does. So they want six guys in the bullpen that throw 97, 98, 99. Well, and they want the starters to go as hard as they can for five innings.
They're breeding these pitchers to do exactly what they want because eventually that's what they're looking at. Just give me five innings. And I'll get the bullpen because I want to bring in somebody that's filthier than the guy that I brought in the time before. And I don't think they want these guys that often to go three deep through the lineup. So I think they're strategic. They know what they're doing. Now, sometimes you'll get a really special guy. But for the most part, they know that they're really not looking for anybody to get more than 12 outs.
Don, you know that every organization. The managers at A, AA, and AAA, they are given, all right, this guy, he throws 50 pitches tonight. So if he's in the fourth inning with runners on first and second, and he is at his 50th pitch on a 2-1 pitch, he gets taken out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So they're not even learning, you know, if I'm running low on gas, how do I get through this problem? Because they're going to go to the bullpen immediately. So they are actually creating something that's going to devour the game.
And listen, there are fans that love offense and home runs and all that, but you know, maybe because I'm a Met fan or maybe because I pitched in high school and a little bit of college, I love watching pitchers go at it. You know, that game 7 in 91, Michael, it was gorgeous.
Yep.
To see two of the greatest pitchers of all time go at it. 8, 9, 10 innings. It's never going to happen.
Remember when Tampa Bay was in the World Series and Kevin Cash took out Snell? It was brilliant. Mate, he took him out.
But that's a reason why some people love the game of baseball. Pitching is an aspect of the game. And you know what? And it's more important than kickoffs in the NFL. All right? It's a major part of this sport. And to see a great pitcher go out there and dominate, I want to see that.
Let's go to Michael in the Bronx. Michael.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
I just have a couple of questions. It's actually my birthday today, so I just want to...
Happy birthday. But how old are we
there?
24. It was supposed to be my Gary Sanchez year, but it's my Willie Calhoun year instead.
Oh, boy.
You know what? Make it Willie Mays year.
Yeah. Awesome.
Have a Deion Sanders year.
Even better. So my first point was just with regards to Cortez and the whole situation, I like Boone. I think he's done a good job holding the ship when the team is like a skeleton crew. My only question is first of all, if the bullpen is taxed, which they are, why not just you can ride Cortez out there even after the home run by Frazier? I know they had the plan, but I mean the Volpe ball could have easily been a double play, and the Frazier one was right down the line. Right. It wasn't like it was like a moonshot. So if the bullpen is as taxed as it is, and they make it out to be, which it is, I don't see the reason to pull Cortez even after that. He still didn't have a massive high pitch count.
I agree, but he walked the first batter. That's a bad sign. Now, we're all saying that the Volpe ball could have been a double play, and it could have been, but it was scalded, and it ate him up. It was not scored an error. It was a base hit. So it's not like that was an easy ball that he booted. He didn't boot it. He didn't get it. And then the Adam Frazier ball, yeah, it kisses the foul pole. It's a three-run home run. But, Michael, can you imagine people calling today if he left Cortez? I mean, there's a big sample size now that Cortez cannot get people out after the fourth inning. So if it's 5-4, the only move there is to take him out. Now, my only argument would be if he went 1-2-3 in that inning and your bullpen is on fumes – then why not let him pitch the eighth? But they were committed to taking him out after Adam Frazier. But I've heard people today say, you know, once that ball got past Volpe, you take him out. I don't even let him face Adam Frazier. Really? That doesn't make any sense. The one thing that Nestor Cortez has going for him this year, as he's had every single year he's pitched, is he really handles left-handers beautifully. So if you took him out and brought in the right-hander Cordero, and then Frazier hits a home run there, you feel good about that? Of course Nestor Cortez is supposed to face Frazier there. Let's go to Joe in Brooklyn. Joe.
Hey, how you doing, guys? You guys are the best.
Thanks. What's up?
Michael, I got a question for you, Michael. So, Yankees are supposed to be the big analytics team, correct?
Yes.
Okay, analytics shows that Cortez can't face batters for the third time. He stinks, okay? Am I wrong or right?
This year.
It doesn't matter. What are we going to go by, last year? We're going by this year.
Oh, okay, but then you're going only with a 9-game sample size.
It doesn't matter right now.
No, but it does. Because, listen, they are an athletic team, Joe, but there are things that you have to consider. They don't have a bullpen. Their bullpen's exhausted. You had to get every out of Cortez that you could. He just struck out three batters. Joe, let me ask you a question. He struck out three batters. Wait a second. He struck out three batters in the sixth inning. What would you have said on this call today if Boone took him out after that inning? What would you have said?
I go by what it says. The ERA is 4.7.
I'm asking you a question. After he struck out three batters and was at 77 pitches, Joe, and he took him out to not pitch the seventh inning, what would you have said today?
Well, Michael, I'm going by going through the third time in the lineup. It doesn't matter what I would have said.
You're not answering. I'm asking you. There are circumstances where you have to override the numbers. You wouldn't have said a word. What did you say when he took out Domingo Germán and Clay Holmes blew the game in the ninth inning? What did you say then?
That was a terrible decision.
Oh, okay. So it would have been a terrible decision because Cordero didn't have it yesterday.
No, it
if he brought in Cordero in the
no
seventh inning and
Germán.
Cordero, let's see if we could talk over each other. And Cordero pitched the way he did, you would have been excoriating Boone for taking out Nestor Cortez after just 77 pitches. Listen, he got off to a bad start. He had a leg injury in spring training. So everybody's thinking the third time through the order thing, that's a bit that could be the problem right there. That could be the problem. Let me take a look at this. I love the way he called in like he got me. He got me.
Michael, while you're looking that up, you think that's bad? I got this is an actual tweet I got. This sums it up. At Rosenberg Radio, from a guy with 3,000 followers, at Rosenberg Radio, Deion Sanders was number 21, dumbass.
Excuse me?
No, he was number 21 in football. He was number 24 in baseball. Dumbass. You absolute moron. You jumped on like you think I didn't know Dion was 21 in football when it was you who didn't know his number in baseball?
He
clown.
He wants your job and thinks that you are a dummy. So in the sixth inning, he faced Mullins for the third time, struck him out. Third time. All right, so that magic third time through the order. Rushman got a hit. And then Mountcastle, who had a home run against him in the fourth, he struck out to end the sixth. So in the sixth inning, one hit, one man left, three strikeouts. Three strikeouts. Now all of a sudden, that's when you want to apply the magic third time through the order. Sometimes you have to ignore the numbers, and that's why I do defend Boone, that he's not completely programmed. What he was trying to do was squeeze outs out of Cortez so he didn't have to go to an exhausted bullpen. Don't you people know baseball? Don't you know what he's trying to do? He sees a weekend where he has a guy who's never seen a major league game in person starting tomorrow. Then he's got Severino, who's probably on a pitch limit on Saturday. And then,
whoa.
What is that? Uh-huh. And then on Sunday, who's starting? It's amazing. It's amazing. Let's get to, let's go to Brian in Manhattan.
Hey, guys. A little off topic from the Yankees, if you'll indulge me.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah, so I think the best part about the show is that you guys like aren't afraid to call out funny things that people say.
All right.
But Buck said something the other day in your interview that could potentially become the most troubling drop in K-Show history. So I was waiting for you guys to talk about it, but since you didn't say it, I literally went back to the podcast to get it verbatim. He said, "My dad could take a belt off faster than any human being I've ever seen. He could get it out and get it back in his pants before I even had time to breathe."
You know what?
That
Brian,
is a verbatim quote from Buck.
It's a good catch by you, and it has to be one of the top seeds in Drop Madness, I would think.
I'm protecting Buck.
Oh, so Anthony's protecting Buck.
No, you can't. You can't do that.
Yes,
you can. You don't protect me, Anthony.
Why? Yeah, why does Buck deserve better?
I don't think
anybody deserves better. You guys are on four hours a day.
Listen, we're really trying to build a nice relationship with the Mets and occasionally get a guest. I mean, it's not working.
How's it working out for us?
No, it's not working. You're right. But Buck is a friend, and I don't know if Buck wants that out there like that.
But he said it. He said it. I don't think he'd be upset. He'd laugh at it.
No.
Buck has a great sense of humor.
I'd like to hear what it sounds like as a drop. At least can we hear it inside?
I think the caller wants the belt part edited out.
No, he doesn't. No, it's from the belt.
He wants the whole thing.
The whole thing, but it's insinuating something other than a belt.
Anthony, do you have the cut?
No, I know exactly. I'll go find it. I know where it is.
Interesting. I'm also thinking on Tuesday, Cole pitched. So Cole could start on Sunday, and essentially tomorrow could be a bullpen day. Severino, if they get five innings out of him on Saturday, that's still four innings out of the bullpen. And then you have to beg and hope and plead that Gerrit Cole gives you seven or eight innings. But let's take out Nestor Cortez after he strikes out the side in the sixth inning. Let's do that. And he's at 77 pitches. Let's do that. Because we all know better. We're all smarter than the people that are actually in the... It's amazing. Don and Peter, they were lying in wait. The Yankees had won five in a row. They won 6-1 6-1 on a road trip. No. They went 7-1 on a road trip. No, 6-1. Yeah, it was seven games. They took three out of four in Toronto, and they swept Cincinnati. 6-1. Then they won the first game against the Orioles. They won five in a row. They'd won 15 out of 20. Just waiting in the weeds. Let Boone bring in a pitcher that doesn't do his job. Then we'll jump them. Then they don't know what they're doing. But when they won 15-5 over 20 and shaved five games off the Tampa Bay lead, Let's shut up because, I mean, we have nothing to say. You're right, Don. We'll never get out from under this unless the Yankees win the World Series.
That's it.
And then I don't think we'll be out from
then
under
it. Then it'll be win it again, clown.
Right. You got the highest payroll, second highest payroll. You got to win them a couple in a row like they did in 98, 99, 2000. I don't know.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Why are the Mets, why is Buck continuing to play Daniel Vogelbach? He's in the lineup again. Again, Mark Vientos sits. Why would you call the kid up unless you're going to play him every day? Because then you are going to stunt his progression. Let him get five at-bats a game at AAA. Don't have him up here and play him half the time. And Vogelbach hasn't earned any more time. He's been dreadful, Don.
He's an automatic out.
And he can't play a position. He clogs up the bases. He's looking to walk all the time. He doesn't have power.
I don't know what it is.
What exactly is he doing?
I really cannot understand it. It doesn't make any sense. Like you said, he doesn't bring – the only thing that you hope is he's going to run into a home run, and he's supposed to have a good on-base percentage, although that has waned recently as well. I know he loves the veterans, which tells me that maybe he wasn't on board with bringing these kids up. I don't know.
If he's not playing him, he can't be on board with it. Because if he pressed for them to come up and he doesn't play him, he looks bad. But, you know, Billy Epler, in the moves he made last year, Darren Ruff was just a total bust. And Vogelbach has been awful.
So is it just a lefty-righty thing?
I guess it has to be that. But I could see if you're putting in a guy who's hitting. Daniel Vogelbach's doing nothing. And Mark Vientos is not a guy who can't hit righties. Very odd.
No, but that's got to be the answer, right? It's just, does he like the lefty-righty matchup?
It has to be that. But again, that means that Vogelbach is going to play 65% of the time.
Yeah.
And he doesn't hit.
You know, Hendricks is a righty tonight, then that's probably the answer. But I don't care. What does lefty-righty mean if the guy can't hit? Now, Pham's
right. So if Sandy Koufax was starting, would you play me? I can't hit.
But Buck is supposed to be the one that is supposed to go against the analytics and go with his gut. So is he getting pressure from the analytic guy? I don't know. But all I know is I'm all for lefty-righty. And listen, it's not like Vientos has done a lot since being here. But it's something fresh. And so let him play. He's not doing anything.
Don, he shouldn't be up if he's not playing.
Right.
He should be down in the minors continuing to play.
If you remember, Michael, when we defended the Mets for not calling the kids up outside of Beatty, was because we didn't want to stunt their growth or have them not play. Now, Beatty took over third base, so that wasn't an issue. But you brought up a DH where there's already two other DHs. And there's already a right-handed DH. So you've already put yourself in a situation where if you're going to go with lefty-righty matchups and you've already got Pham, who he likes to play as well, all right, you got the spurt, he hit the home run, but then, yeah, send him back down. What is he going to be doing here sitting on the bench not getting any at-bats? And he was raking in Syracuse.
And then there's actually the discussion, Don, which I don't understand, that you're going to send down Alvarez when Narvaez and Nito get back? Well, why? One of those guys has to go, and Alvarez has to be your everyday catcher. I know they spent money on Narvaez, but Alvarez has actually acquitted himself quite well. Gary Sanchez is gone. There's no place for Gary Sanchez. He's just here because the other two catchers are hurt. One guy has a dry eye. The other guy, I believe it was a calf, something like that. But when they come back, one of them has to go. Nito can't hit. I don't care if the pitchers like pitching to Nito. He can't hit.
Well, what Buck is going to tell you, and he kind of insinuated about the lefty-righty and the fact that he's got nearly a 370 on-base percentage. But I look at him as just someone that is not, he's just not getting the job done. He's just not. Now, if you're that afraid that Vientos is overmatched, then send him back down.
Yeah, it none of it makes sense. Make it make sense for me, Donnie. Make it make sense.
Well, I just think it comes down to Buck wants to play the veterans. He couldn't defend Escobar. He couldn't. So, you know, Beatty had to be called up. But, all right, they got the spurt from Vientos. But, again, it's not like he's rocketing the ball all over the place. They already have a right EDH. And so you said it before. You're bringing up – you got three guys who all play the same position. And Vogelbach is the only lefty. So I guess that's why he's still on the team.
Yeah, but a lefty is only good if he can play. This guy has not been able to play.
No, we are looking at a guy that is batting 229 So you say, all right, well, maybe he'll run into a couple of home runs. He's got two home runs, 13 RBIs, but his on-base percentage is .368. So is that it?
But even when he gets on base,
but yeah, right, exactly.
Base to base.
What are you doing?
Can run.
What are you doing with him?
He has no other skill. He can't play a position because the only position he can play is first base. And Alonso plays every right. day as he should.
Now, that's probably that he can play first base when you want a DH Alonso. He does but serve a purpose.
But
Buck
said
it.
The other day, Alonso wants a DH six times this year. You're keeping him on this team for six times?
You asked me to explain something I don't disagree with, but could there be any other reason why?
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.